Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's C Sparky, 5 for 55 past the hour here on 1250 AM. The Fan, sponsored by Young Express. Being joined now by Tim Dillard, Ballet Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. He's brought to you by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they pay cash for your gold. Visit them in Greenfield at 76th and Leyden, or their new location in Brookfield, roberthackdiamonds.com. Tim, first things first, write a story talking about the fact that the Brewers here in the last couple of weeks or so have decided to put games into their clubhouse to build chemistry and bonding, like ping pong and games like that. I guess it's not the first time I've heard of there being a ping pong table in a locker room. I remember Ray Allen was a big ping pong player back in the day. I think J.J. Hardy was a big ping pong player back in the day for the Brewers as well. But to be in September and to be talking about bonding and team chemistry seems a little weird to me, I guess, this late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this stuff has kind of been going on. I think now they're just trying to make it more official, like, hey, we're going to take this little basketball game on the road. And because here's the thing, you come up to the minor leagues, you don't really have a whole lot of room to explore and stuff to do, so you kind of come together. There's people always playing cards, and then you get to the big leagues and there's so much room, you kind of just go sit in your locker. And then when smartphones, you know, everyone had one, you just get in your locker, look on your phone, and you kind of get disconnected in that way, and you only see guys when you're out playing catch with them, or you know, that can happen. So I think for whatever reason, the leadership in that clubhouse said, you know what, we're going to get the phones down and we're going to start playing some games. So this isn't uncommon. I think it's strange how it's become to the forefront in September. I don't know
right. Why
that's a big deal. But, I mean, listen, baseball is hard. It's a hard game. And if you don't know how to not think about it, all you're going to ever do is think about it, right? You're going to take it home. It's going to be with you at night. It's going to be with you in the morning. So this is just a way to get your mind off the game.
You know, the one thing that us in the media, I guess, have given Craig Counsell credit for over the years, and now I'm second-guessing whether or not that should have been done or not, has been, you know, his ability to kind of, you know, get a team to gel together and get that chemistry right and playing, you know, the best baseball in September and having good clubhouses along the way. Maybe it doesn't happen every year, but in most scenarios, it feels like Counsell's had that magic touch. For you, how critical is a manager to having good clubhouse chemistry and having a team playing together as a unit?
I think the best thing you can get from a manager, and I think Craig Counsell does this well from what I've heard and what I've seen and just what I know about him, is just transparency. Just can't have anything fall through the cracks. It's all about, you know, why would, if there's an issue, let's just address it and get it out of the way. It's not a big deal. So when you have that kind of clean air in the clubhouse, there's a lot of freedom there, a lot of freedom to grow and cultivate relationships. So if that's what it's about, I mean, these guys are doing life together for 7 months. You got a month of spring training, got 6 month season, hopefully postseason. You got to learn to love the guys, and you don't get this far in baseball without knowing how to befriend anybody in this game, no matter their background or where they come from or whatever their attitude is. You just learn to love guys. And the way to do that is to create an environment where that can happen. I think Craig Counsell brings that to the forefront, and he always talks about staying connected.
We talk about the Cardinals series coming up for the Milwaukee Brewers as we record this on Tuesday afternoon, a bullpen day. coming up for the Brewers against the Cardinals, one of which I hate seeing. I don't like bullpen days against rivals, but that is what it is based on what we have. How did you approach those type of days, if you were involved in a bullpen day versus just a regular start?
Well, I mean, it's fun sometimes, especially if you're a bullpen guy. It's like, man, you may pitch the first inning, you may pitch the ninth inning. You don't know what's going to happen in this game. But what I'm thinking right here is they got Burns tomorrow. They assume that he's going to go six or seven innings, something like that. And so it's all hands on deck. They're going to push Taylor Rogers and obviously Devin Williams to the 8 and 9 by starting Bush. Bush has done this before. He's done it five other times this year, all with the Rangers, and has had some success. So at least he's familiar with it. But what they're doing is it's a one-inning guy. He's a one-inning guy, and they're going to see how the Cardinals stack their lineup, and then they're going to go accordingly. If they put Brent Suter out there who could throw two or three innings, then they're going to stack their lineup with righties and just kind of take advantage. But here's how I think Craig Counsell is going to roll with this. I think he's going to do it as like a Tony La Russa back in the day in the playoffs, right? If you come into the game and you don't have the first three batters out, like, we're getting somebody up.
Right, like, quick.
We don't care. We're going to play. Yes, I think that's exactly. They're going to do whatever it takes to keep as many runs off that board as they can, and they don't care how many pitchers they use. They're fully stocked, right? Had an off day yesterday.
Right.
They got an off day after this series. They have an extra pitcher down there just because it's September. So, yes, absolutely, they should treat this as if you don't get three outs, then let's get somebody going.
See, the thing that I guess kind of I question, and I don't know why it would be this way, but I feel like when the other team knows it's a bullpen day and they know who's starting and they know that it's going to be a bullpen day for you, don't you just put your best nine out there? You don't worry about trying to face having a bunch of lefties in the lineup or anything like that. You just put your best nine out there, and however they come in whatever order they come in, you just deal with it versus, you know, trying to stack it up against a right or left-handed pitcher like you would on a normal start.
Yeah, I think you just put your guys that you would put out there in any normal everyday game that you just want to try to win the game. So there's really no a whole lot of strategic stuff going on. But what it does eliminate is the fact that how are you going to get a scouting report on seven dudes in the bullpen?
Right.
It's hard to do that. It's hard to sit there and say, hey, let's have a meeting. This is the tendency. There is information there, but how are you going to retain all that? So all these hitters are going to fall back on, okay, this is a lefty, this is a righty. You know, maybe get a few tips from the, hey, this is what his slider looks like. This is what he throws in, you know, an 0-2 count. And they're going to roll that way, because if you sit there and you try to do, you know, get too overloaded with information, it doesn't work. Hitters don't do that. So they're just going to go up there and know that they're going to probably face a different pitcher every single at bat.
Talk with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst here on 1250 AM, The Fan. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the minor leagues, if you don't mind. Jackson Chirio promoted at 18 years old all the way on up to Double A. Now, again, it's for the final week of the season, so forth. He was with the Timber Rattlers. He hit .252, had 8 home runs, .317 on base, .488 slugging. I remember having conversations with Doug Melvin back in the day when he was here, and he had very strict guidelines that he kind of liked to follow as far as how many at-bats each hitter would get from one level to the next before he wanted to move on, how many at-bats he'd like to see a hitter get before he brought him up to the major league level, and something along those same lines probably for pitchers. When you're talking about an 18-year-old kid in being moved up here for the last week at Double A, do you feel like this is a rush deal just to get them a week's worth, and maybe they're hoping to get them to Double A next year? Or do you really think that was enough time for this kid hitting .252 or whatever for the Timber Rattlers?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, who cares, right? The guy is on the radar, and he's a prospect, and he's doing well, good enough to get promoted. So promote him just to see how he handles it, right? Because if he goes up there and he dominates, then you look great. If he goes and, you know, he struggles, then it's like, okay, he has experience for next year, right? The season's almost over. I think it's a good move. He got himself on the map at the end of spring training when they were just filling in, when the big league club pretty much already left, and they had a bunch of guys just kind of filling in the last couple games, and he put himself on the map. He's an elite talent. So I've seen guys that, you know, are young getting into certain levels, and they kind of get overwhelmed at times. But when you feel like you've been playing this game your entire life and you have the instincts and you've been around some of the guys just your whole life, I mean, this is baseball ingrained. I mean, this is a little bit different than maybe you see in the States, where it's, you play on in the summer, or you play in high school. They play it all the time. So I don't know. I'm interested to see, just because this guy has been on everyone's tongue pretty much since the season started.
One last thing for you, something I've not done as a Brewer fan since the Braun, Fielder, Weeks, Hardy deal back in the day when those guys were coming up through the minor league system. I've not been able to have fun with a bunch of potential hitters into a future Brewers lineup, but I did it today, the 2024 Brewers lineup, and guys like Sal Frelick, Joey Weimer, Jackson Chourio, Mario Feliciano, Bryce Terang, Garrett Mitchell. I mean, they really right now are getting themselves in a position here in the next year or two to really be able to implement a bunch of young hitters into this lineup if they choose, which I think is a pretty exciting deal from a Brewer fan perspective, and probably from an organization perspective that's kind of has been lacking bats for several years.
Yeah, got to definitely be excited. And what's interesting is they make these moves that are tough to trade to get, you know, players. But then you're relying heavily on the draft, your scouts and what they're seeing. And they had a plan. They had a plan of, like, we want athletes that can hit. And that's what you're seeing. Not these guys aren't just, you know, big first basemen that can't move or something like that. These guys can hit. They can run, they can steal bases, and to me, that's exciting baseball. When you have guys that can use all fields, they have power. You talk about 4 and 5 tool players. That's and being 6 or 7 of those that are coming in the next couple years. Wow, I mean, it's hard not to be excited about that kind of baseball, especially when you know it's coming.
I lied. I got one more that I forgot that I want to ask you. Your thoughts on the minor leaguers apparently getting ready to form a union and roll with the Major League Baseball Players Association, and how big of a deal that is?
Yeah, I haven't seen all the details on that. That's a weird thing, because if you start sitting there, I mean, what's the power of a union, right, if you go on strike? So if a bunch of minor leaguers went on strike tomorrow, you know what I'm doing? I'm retiring from broadcasting, and I'm going to go play AAA baseball in Nashville.
Look at all those independent baseball teams that would all line up to go play for them. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, there's so many players out there. It's like, to think you're a commodity in that way is, there's only a couple of those on every, you know, roster all the way down. Everyone else is just kind of filler. I was a filler guy my entire career, but I made it. So I don't know. I don't know the power. I don't know the logistics of how that's going to work. I think it's interesting that right when I retire from the minor leagues, all of a sudden everything gets better.
Right.
I don't know why that happened, but they're paying like for housing. They're supposedly going to get paid more, and now they're part of the MLBPA. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like, but at the same time, the worst thing you could have, as far as like if I'm in charge of an organization, the worst thing you can have is a bunch of players that just feel entitled to be in the minor leagues, and that kind of takes away the fight. I don't agree with the pay that the minor leaguers had for so many years. I made the same in rookie ball that my dad did 30 years before, so that needs to be fixed, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed in that regard. But at the same time, if you start giving, I don't know, you're going to, the tooth and nail of it is what makes these guys great when they get to the big league. So if you kind of remove that and make it super easy, I don't know what you're going to get. So
okay,
I don't know.
Wait, hold on a second here. This is good, because let's take it to a different perspective. Yeah. Let's take it to the name, image, likeness deal, where you have college quarterbacks getting $1 million, like Bryce Young, the quarterback at Alabama. The man's a millionaire before he even gets to the NFL. I mean, surely that's probably going to change some things as well when these college athletes are getting paid big bucks before they even make it to the pros.
Well, I think what you're going to find is if these dudes do make a bunch of like millions of dollars before they, I mean, what's the incentive?
Right.
They can sit there and retire at age 20.
Yep.
It's like, oh, well, I didn't make it to the big leagues, but I got $5 million.
Yep.
You know, and you see that. You see that over the years with first rounders. They'll give a guy $5 million. He plays A ball, realizes, man, this is really hard, so I'm just going to go home. I've seen it. So what is? You know, you got to be careful giving a bunch of kids money, because I would do the same thing. You give me $10 million and I'm 20 years old, I'm going to fight to get in the big league, and if I don't make it, I'll be like, all right, that's cool, I'm out.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, I think that's very, very likely the case for a lot of these kids. That's how that'll play out. Tim Dillard, we'll talk to you next week. As always, man, always fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sparky.
Take care. There he is. Tim Dillard, brought to you by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they pay cash for your gold. Visit them in Greenfield at 76th and Layden, or their new location in Brookfield, roberthackdiamonds.com. Make sure to check out Tim Dillard, Adam McKelvey, and Brad Ford for the weekly podcast, Brewers Unfiltered. Go to brewers.com right now, or simply download it on your Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.